started by reading Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 3. The Bible says he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let's bow our head for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to be here. Thank you for each person that is present. And Lord, I do know, as others have already prayed, that we have members who would love to be with us today but are not able. We ask that you bless them, that you minister to them wherever they might be. And Lord, pray if it's your will, you'd raise them up where they could come back to church real soon. And we pray for all these different prayer requests that have been mentioned. We lift them before you today. And Lord, once again, we especially want to be mindful of Miss Jackie and the family. Ask for your help and your comfort, your strength. And we rejoice today that we know Brother Red is in your presence. We're thankful for the years you gave him, but Lord, we're thankful most of all that he's with you today. And Lord, I pray that you would please bless the message now. I ask that you give me the liberty, the clarity of thought, speech that I need to say exactly what you want said. Lord, I pray that you would free our minds of distractions, help us to be able to concentrate, to stay alert, to focus our attention on the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to every heart. I do know, Lord, that I can't help anybody in this service here today. I never have been able to, and I can't now. If there's people here that's lost, they'll only get saved if you open their eyes and you show them that they need your Son. And you help them to make that decision. I can't do it. Nobody else can, Lord. You'll have to deal with them or it won't be done. So I pray, Lord, that you would break through anyone's heart here this morning that's lost. Put them under such strong conviction that they cannot leave this place without getting saved. Lord, for those of us that are already saved, I pray you would speak to our hearts. You'd give us comfort and help through your word. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Isaiah is one of the major prophets we have in the Old Testament. We have major and minor prophets, not because some are more important than others, but because of length. So since Isaiah has 66 chapters, it is designated a major prophet. The prophet Isaiah himself is known by some people as the evangelical prophet. The reason why he's been given this title is because of how often he prophesies about the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, we find that throughout the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is prophesied about. In one of the books in the Old Testament that highlights, if you will, the Lord Jesus is the book of Isaiah. All through the book of Isaiah, you have one prophecy after another about our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And one of my personal favorites, one of my favorite messianic prophecies found in Isaiah is chapter 53, the one that we just read from. Chapter 53, from start to finish, is a prophecy about the sacrificial, substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is very clear from verses like 5, 6, and 7. And this is a passage that I have read through many times during my life, but as I was reading through it once again this past week in my own personal Bible time, I saw something that I had never previously seen. And that is the fact that three times in these 12 verses, some form of the word grief is used in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see it there in verse number 3. You see it also in verse number 4 and again down in verse number 10. And that's what I want to focus our attention on in the message today. The title of the message is Acquainted with Grief. Acquainted with grief. And I want to get started by saying the word grief, as it's used here in this chapter, means deep sorrow, sadness, anguish, and pain. And notice I said deep. Grief is not some superficial, surface level sorrow. It's not a mild disappointment. Grief, in the literal sense, is a deep sorrow or sadness that is found down in the soul of an individual. It is a heavy sorrow that is within a person. It is very different than something mild and mostly insignificant. It is something very, very personal, and it's deep down inside of an individual. That's what real grief is about. And the Bible tells us right here in verse number 3 that the Lord Jesus Christ is acquainted with grief. That's where I took the title for the message, but look at verse number 3 with me once again. Notice the Bible says about the Lord Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The word acquainted here means to be aware of or familiar with. To be aware of or familiar with. That means the Lord Jesus Christ is aware of or familiar with grief. And the reason this truth is so important is because grief is a reality for every person that lives on this earth. It is a reality for the people who have lived. It's a reality for those of us living now. And it is a reality for those that will live out in the future. No person walks this veil of tears without experiencing grief at different points in their life. And we experience grief for all sorts of reasons. But grief is very much a reality. You will not live any amount of time on this earth without at some point experiencing grief in your life. Something somewhere along the line is going to shake you down deep inside. Something is going to turn you, your world upside down, turn you inside out, and you're going to have a pain and an anguish inside of you that is very different from other ordinary times in life. I'm talking about real stuff. I'm talking about real things. Not little small insignificant things that we have to deal with. I'm talking about life-changing stuff that affects us inside very much. Everybody has to go through that that lives on this earth down here. And what I want to do in the beginning of this message today is I want to show you from Isaiah chapter 53 some reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ is acquainted with grief. And then what I want to do after I go through those reasons is close out the message by making these truths applicable to your life and mine. So we're going to start by looking at some reasons why Jesus Christ is acquainted with grief. First of all, I want to say this. The Lord Jesus is acquainted with grief because of his life. Because of his life. And when I say his life, I'm talking here about his life on earth. I'm talking about the time that he spent down here on the earth as a man. If you look there at verse number 3 again, we've looked at it a couple of times, but look there once again and notice it says, and again, this is all prophecy, you understand. Isaiah's prophesying about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, he is despised, and notice, rejected of men. Down at the end of that verse, it says, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. That's talking about the way people looked at the Lord Jesus Christ during his life on earth. It's talking about the way he was treated during his life while he was down here on earth. According to the Word of God, there was a time in history when the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, left heaven and came to earth. The Bible says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down here as a man. Now, he was God, but he was also man. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of man. He was every bit God, but he was every bit man. Now, don't ask me to explain all that to you, because I don't know how to fully explain it. I just know that's what the Bible teaches. According to the Bible, Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, but at the same time, he was 100% man. And as he lived down here as a man on this earth, he saw and experienced grief. That's why the Bible says, one reason, by the way, that he was acquainted with grief. If you look there at verse number 3, you'll notice that statement is made right in the midst of where it's talking about how Jesus was treated while he lived down here. So one reason why he's acquainted with grief is because of his life. He saw grief. He experienced grief personally in his life during the time that he lived on this earth. He saw grief in other people as he lived and moved from one place to the other, traveling, ministering, meeting people. He saw grief in the life of others. He saw that. He saw people that had that deep sorrow and anguish down inside of them. And he saw them have this grief for all kinds of reasons, just like we experience grief for all kinds of reasons. He saw people grieving because of a lost loved one. And I mean someone that had passed away. He saw people literally weeping because of a loved one that had died. He saw people grieving over a problem in the life of a child. He saw people grieving over a body that was racked with sickness and pain and had not up to that point experienced healing. He saw people grieving for all kinds of reasons. And not only did he see grief, but I'm here to tell you this morning, based on what the Bible says, as a man, he experienced grief himself. He experienced that deep sorrow, that anguish and pain I'm talking about down on the inside as a man. Jesus Christ went through some things in his life that caused him grief. Sometimes the grief he experienced was because of the grief that he saw in other people. And that's how it is sometimes, isn't it? Sometimes we hurt because other people hurt. Sometimes we hurt on the inside because somebody we love and care about hurts. I've often said that I would rather hurt than see certain people hurt. I'd rather be sick than see certain people sick. And usually when people say something like that, we're talking about our closest friends, especially our family, like a husband, a wife, a child, something like that. I've thought many times, I'd rather myself hurt than my wife hurt or my son hurt. That's just the way it is. So a lot of the grief we feel is because of the grief we see in others. And that's exactly how it was at times with the Lord Jesus. As he looked at people and saw the grief they experienced, it caused him grief on the inside. I want to take you to the New Testament real quick and show you a good illustration of what I'm talking about. Go with me to the Gospel of John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And you'll probably recognize this story. John chapter 11 is where we read about the death of Lazarus. Lazarus had two sisters. He had a sister named Mary and one named Martha. And the Lord Jesus Christ loved this whole family. This was a family that was near and dear to the heart of the Lord Jesus. He loved all of them. He spent time in their home. They prepared meals for the Lord Jesus Christ. He fellowshiped with them and ate with them. This was a personal family that he cared about very much. And Lazarus gets sick and he dies. And later on, the Lord Jesus Christ shows up. And the two sisters come out to where Jesus is at as he's approaching. And I want you to look with me at verse number 32. John chapter 11 and verse 32. It says, then when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore, look at this, saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her. You know why she's weeping? She's experiencing grief. She's got that deep sorrow and sadness down inside of her because she's lost her brother. Her brother's died and her heart is broken, literally. And she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus and she's weeping. And that weeping is an outward expression of what's going on the inside of her. And then you got these other Jews weeping. And whenever Jesus saw that, the Bible says he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. What gets him bothered internally here? It's the grief that he sees in people that he cares about. If you look on down, just look at verse 34. And Jesus said to them, "Where have you laid him?" And they said unto him, "Lord, come and see." The shortest verse in all of the Bible, what does that say? Jesus wept. You know what he's doing now? He saw her weeping. Now he's weeping. You know why he's grieving? He's grieving because she's grieving. He's hurting inside. He's got that anguish inside of him because of what he sees going on inside of Mary and those other people that he loved. Sometimes his grief was because of that. It was because of the grief that others experienced. Listen, when you really love people and you really care about people, when they hurt, you will hurt. There's no question about it. When they're tore up on the inside, you're going to be tore up on the inside. When they're troubled on the inside, you will be troubled on the inside. That's reality. Sometimes grief is because of the grief we see in others, but not only did he experience grief because of the grief he saw in others, but times he had grief because of how he was treated. Look at it again here, verse 3, one more time. He is despised and rejected of men. He's despised. Y'all understand this is his creation. All of those people that despised and rejected him, he created. You understand that? That's his creation. He made them. He gave them life. The Bible even says that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. The very ones that he came for rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. They despised him. He's rejected of men. Look at the end of verse 3 again. He was despised and we esteemed him not. They gave him no esteem. Even though he was God there in their presence, they gave him no esteeming whatsoever. You follow on through to the end of his life, people spitting in his face, slapping him with their hands, beating him with the cat of nine tails. I'm talking despised and rejected of men. Some of the grief he experienced was because of how he was treated as he lived down here. There were times he would pass through towns and he came there just to love people and to care for people and to help people, and all they do is run him out of town. There's times he would go into the synagogues and he would just stand up and read the scripture or say certain things or heal somebody that had been sick maybe their whole life. And you know how they would respond? They'd pick up stones and try to kill him. Despised and rejected of men. He's the only perfect person that's ever lived on this earth. I'm talking about perfect that stayed perfect, amen? The only one. He just went about doing good, the Bible says. He never did anything bad to anybody, and yet all of those people despised him and rejected him. Some of the grief he felt was because of the way he was treated while living on this earth, and even because of what happened when he was on the cross. That's the second thing that I want to talk about this morning. Not only is Jesus acquainted with grief because of his life, but I want to say secondly this morning, he's acquainted with grief because of his load. Because of his load. Look at it with me in verse number 4. This is the second place where that word shows up. The Bible says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, this is talking about him on the cross now. When he's there on the cross, we have, I imagine, for a long time understood that he was bearing our sin. The Bible says he bare in his body our sins. The sins of the world were put upon him. Look at verse number 6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We understand from the Bible that he bore our sins, but according to verse number 4, the Bible says in that verse that he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He bore all of the grief that we would ever experience in our life. Think about that for a moment. Him being God, he knew everything that we'd ever have to face in our lives, didn't he? Is there anything that happens in your life that catches him off guard? Is there anything you go through he doesn't know about? He knew about it before you ever came along. He understands. He knew. And all of our griefs and all of our sorrows were laid on him. That was part of the load that he had to bear while hanging on the cross. Not just bearing our sins, but bearing our sorrows and our griefs as well. And listen, all of this was because of our transgressions and all of our iniquities. Look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Look at this. Yet, even though he's bearing what should be our load, you understand? He's taking what should be our load, because it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. These should be our griefs, our sorrows. He bears that, and how do people respond? Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The people's perspective was, hey, he's just being punished by God. He's an evildoer. He's a wicked person. He deserves what he's getting. That was the mindset of the majority of the people. He's just a wicked, godless person, so he's under the wrath and punishment of God right now for what he has done. That was the way people looked at it. But look at what verse 5 says. Verse 5, the prophet gives the right perspective. He says this is the way people looked at Jesus and what he was going through, that he was a wicked person deserving of that. But the prophet then says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The prophet says, look, that's the way people perceive Jesus, but the truth is, everything he went through was for us. That's the thing you got to keep in mind. He's hanging on that cross bearing my grief and my sorrow, and he's doing that because of me. Not because he did wrong, not because he was a sinner, wicked, but because I'm a sinner, because you're a sinner. He hung there and was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And look at this, the chastisement of our peace. All of that chastisement that the Lord Jesus Christ endured, that being beaten with that cat of nine tails and the crown of thorns and people slapping him and spitting in his face and all the horrible things. You know what that chastisement was for? It was so you could have peace with God. So you could be reconciled to God. And not just so you could have peace with God, but I believe so that you and I as believers could have the peace of God. So that through him, I mean, I'm talking about him bearing our griefs and our sorrows. You know one reason why he went through all that stuff and carried that load and endured all that? So that when I did go through grief and I did go through sorrow, I could have peace through him. It was all for my benefit. All for my benefit. He is acquainted with grief because of his load. And I want you to keep this in mind. This is the most important thing about him bearing our griefs and our sorrows. Most of all, he bore the grief and the sorrow that we should all experience in hell. I want you to think about something the Bible says about being in hell. One thing it says is that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you ever thought about that? What I say earlier about weeping, Jesus saw those people weeping. That weeping is an outward expression of what's inside, right? You weep. I'm not talking about just, you know, a little tear coming. When you weep, you just cry out. Your eyes just flood with tears. It's great crying is what it is. And according to the Bible, people in hell right now are weeping. They're not having a party in hell. You got that? These people that are deceived by the devil and they walk around speaking of hell so flippantly like, well, I'll see you in hell and we're going to party in hell. Nobody's partying in hell today. Nobody's having a good time in hell today. Nobody's enjoying themselves in hell today. Nobody's having drinks with their buddies in hell today. People in hell are weeping today and gnashing their teeth. That's what the Bible says. That grief that they experienced from being in that horrible place, listen to me, is like no grief they ever experienced here on this earth. You've heard the old adage, out of the frying pan and into the fire. That's what happens with some people. Some people live on this earth down here. They never accept Jesus Christ. They go through grief and hardship. And then they die without Jesus Christ, and they go from the frying pan into the fire. They go from the grief that they have on this earth, which is bad, to something they never experienced while living down here. They go into a grief that is beyond anything they could ever possibly imagine. And that's why now, as we're in this service right here today, below our feet in the heart of this earth is a real place called hell where real people are weeping. They are full of sorrow and sadness, just knowing. And it's not just the horrible pain, the intense pain they're going through, but it's all the other stuff that comes along with being in that terrible place. Have you read and studied the things the Bible says about hell? What a horrible place it is. Oftentimes, the only thing we want to think about is the fire and the pain that you go through because of that fire. And that's terrible. That's awful. Worse than any pain we could ever imagine physically. But there's a lot more to it than just being in fire. There's having to live there with all of your faculties, remembering, as the Bible says, how it was on earth. I believe one reason why people are weeping in hell today has got absolutely nothing to do with the fire. I believe that's a reason, but I don't believe that's the only reason. I believe some people in hell right now are screaming and crying at the top of their lungs because they remember that in their lifetime on this earth, God gave them chance after chance after chance to get saved, and they rejected those chances, and they died, and now they're in hell, and they know there's no hope for them. That is a pain on the inside that would rival the pain they have on the outside. Knowing they're there and there's nothing that can ever change their situation. But here's the good thing. Listen to me. Look at verse number 4 again. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried ours. He bore all of the grief and the horror and the sorrow of hell. Not just the griefs we would go through here, but what we would have to endure in hell if we died lost. He bore all of that. He took all of that on him. And so now, thank the Lord, because we're saved, I don't ever have to worry about going to hell. I don't have to worry about being in that place weeping and gnashing my teeth and crying out for a mercy that I'll never get. I don't have to worry about that because Jesus Christ took my place on the cross. He understands grief because of his load. Let me give you one other thing before I make some application here. He's acquainted with grief because of his life. He's acquainted with grief because of his load. And last of all, he's acquainted with grief because of his Lord. His Lord. Look down at verse 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. When you see that in the King James Bible, it's the word for Jehovah. And it's usually a reference to the Father. So what you got here is Jesus Christ the Son, and then you got his Father, Jehovah God. And it says, look at it, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to bruise his Son. It pleased him. That's a strange saying, isn't it? It pleased him to bruise his Son. Look at it now. He, that is God, the Father, hath put him, God the Son, to grief. The Father did that. The Father put him to grief. He put him to sorrow. Why did he do that? Well, look at it. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. An offering had to be made for sin in order for us to be saved. And listen to me. Had there been any other way for it to be done, the Father would have chose that way. But there was no other way for a full and complete offering to be made for sin except through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that could do it. That's why it pleased the Father to bruise him. That's why he put him to grief, because it was only Jesus Christ that could be that offering. Look at this right here, verse 11. He, Jehovah God, shall see the travail of his soul. That's the travail of his son's soul, and shall be satisfied. You know what satisfied the demands of a holy and a righteous God? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. The offering he made. Him bearing our sins. Taking our griefs and our sorrows. That's why he was put to grief. Why is he acquainted with grief? Because he was put to grief. While he's hanging on that cross, I don't believe our minds have the capacity to understand the level of grief that he experienced that day. Just bearing all of the sin of all people for all time, having that put on him. And not only having to endure that horrible sin and all the other stuff, but that moment in time when his Father, for the one and only time, had to look away from his son. Where the Father looked away and Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The grief he experienced in those hours hanging on that cross is a major reason why he is acquainted with grief. Now, what has all this got to do with us? Well, I tell you this, if you're here this morning and you're lost, it's got everything to do with you. Because the Lord Jesus Christ did all that for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell. What a shame it would be. What a shame it would be for you to live on this earth down here and go through hard times. But let me tell you something. It's not just saved people that go through hard times. Everybody has grief. You're going to suffer. It doesn't matter if you're saved or lost. You're going to go through hard times. What's horrible is that people go through all the hard stuff that you have to deal with in this life and then die and go to hell, where it's a billion times worse than anything they experienced down here. Wouldn't it be a shame for you to sit here in this service Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and get chance after chance and hear what Jesus has done for you and know that you don't have to go and then die and go to all that grief that we've talked about? Why would you want to do that? If you're here today and you're lost, you don't have to leave that way. You can get saved this morning. He bore your sin. He bore your grief. He took the grief that you ought to have to face in hell and the grief you will face in hell if you reject him. Why don't you come this morning and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior so you don't have to worry about that ever again? So you can have peace with God? And then let me say this to those of us that are saved. Because of what he experienced in his life and in his death, Jesus understands your grief. You may not be grieving right now. You may not have any real deep sorrow inside of you right now. Let me say something to you. Just hang on a while. Because it's coming. You may have dozed off during the message today and think that message really doesn't apply to me. You should have been listening, because your day's coming, buddy. Amen. Grief's going to hit your home. And grief's going to hit your family. And something's going to turn your world upside down. And you're going to need at that moment to understand there's somebody who understands what you're going through. And his name is Jesus. He's a sympathizing, compassionate Savior. Because he experienced grief, he understands what you're going through. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmity. Isn't it good to know that we have that kind of Savior? That in our times of grief, our times of sadness and sorrow, we always have a compassionate shoulder we can lean on, don't we? Thank God that Jesus Christ is acquainted with grief. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we come to you again today thankful for the privilege to be in church and the opportunity to spend time in your word. Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you that you are acquainted with all of our grief. You know about it. You're aware of it. You understand it. You're familiar with it. You've been there. You've done that. And because you've been tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, you can succor us in our times of temptation. You can help us. And I thank you that we have that promise today. Lord, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you, please, Lord, all I know to do is pray for them. Ask you to deal with them, help them to get saved. And if there's somebody here today, and maybe we don't know it, but inside they're full of pain and sorrow, I pray you just remind them that you understand and that you're with them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.